Welcome to We Are Libertarians. This week we've got a packed house. I am Chris Spangl. To my right is Greg Lenz.
Hello, everybody.
To my left is Gina Martinez.
Hello, hello.
Online we've got Joe Ruiz. And we've got Creighton Harrington. We've got a packed house. The whole gang is here, and we'd like to make a few announcements at the beginning of the show. If you're a regular listener, if you listen from the beginning, you know who we are and what we believe and all that good stuff. And we got a request from a listener who said, you know, I've started listening. I don't really know who any of you are. I don't know what any of you believe, how you believe, what you believe, why you believe it, how you became a libertarian or any of that good stuff. And he said it might be helpful for some of the listeners if you did a little refresh. So what we're going to do is just go around the table and maybe reintroduce ourselves a little bit, tell us what your political philosophy is and how you became a libertarian. And we're going to start with the newest. We made the announcement today. Gina Martinez is joining us as a regular host here on We Are Libertarians.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for having me back. I'm really honored to be sitting in with you guys. And what kind of questions are you wanting to know?
Gina, how did you become a libertarian? Tell us your story. From whence did you come?
Well, I guess I became a libertarian candidate. from whence did I came? I came from lots of many places, but most recently I was studying at IUPUI when I stumbled into some friends who were libertarians, and they introduced me to the guys down at the LPIN headquarters, and things went really well. So in November, I ran for state senate, and it was pretty awesome.
So how would you describe your political bent before that?
Are you asking me my beliefs or
What did you vote? Were you on the blue or the red team?
Ew. I try not to have called.
She was a blue teamer.
Didn't you visit the Obama White House?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
The regime's White House.
The regime's.
Ouch.
Why did you visit Obama's White House? Was it to throw fervent praise upon the dear leader? Or
no, actually, I had a really cool... I sat on a really cool series called the Community Leader Series. So because I was an outspoken advocate, they invited a group of us to come and hear what the message that they were trying to get across that they weren't necessarily being able to broadcast through mainstream media for whatever reason or agenda. But I was... I sat in on like a debriefing from some of the higher cabinet
officials.
How
y'all doing? She said it on a debriefing.
Oh, boy.
Hey, it was fancy. I spoke to, Brad Cooper, Alexia Kelly.
Bradley Cooper, the actor, or a guy named Brad Cooper?
There's a guy named Brad Cooper, apparently, on the staff. Wow. So it was just a very cool experience.
Hey, quick interruption.
Do
technical
it.
Note. Are we on air?
Oh, good point.
We better reboot this thing.
No, that's okay. We're still recording. We'll just... We recorded this to YouTube, and I forgot to hit record on that, but we're still rolling on the tape.
Right on.
So, so you met Zach Galifianakis at the White House.
Well, you know, no. Actually, the coolest person I spoke to at the White House was probably David Plouffe.
Oh.
He was the he's the assistant and senior advisor to Obama.
He was the
himself.
Campaign manager.
Yep.
Well, the coolest moment that I had was he was discussing... numbers within our budget and how much goes to discretionary spending, and he misspoke quite a bit about the education allotment, and so I was able to
that's how she knew she was a libertarian. She was at the White House. She told Obama's campaign manager, you're wrong and you're lying right now.
Right. And so we had that talk. And he didn't necessarily acknowledge that he was lying, but he did agree to double check his numbers because he may have been misspeaking. And for me, that was enough of a compromise in that moment to feel like I had accomplished something.
So you just kind of got involved with the Libertarian Party, and that's how you eventually ended up on a Libertarian podcast.
Yeah.
Are there still things that you say, all right,
you're going to lose another beer, young man. Look at your beer. He's got PBR battles.
Man down.
So do you still look at some parts of the libertarian philosophy and say, I really struggle with that?
It's not that I struggle with anything within the libertarian, doctrine, if you will. There are certain individuals within the Libertarian Party whose... I guess I want to say interpretation of that doctrine I don't necessarily jive with.
You did say, though, healthcare is a right last week, right?
I do believe healthcare should be a right.
Should
absolutely.
Be right. Absolutely. So that would be one way.
I would characterize Gina as one of those people who jumped on the train last year and is still figuring it all out.
Slowly evolving.
Slowly, you know. And you were sort of like that when you joined the podcast, too. Greg.
Totally.
You know, we mentioned philosophy, and my philosophy on most things is that I refuse to declare myself whatever. I'm not a feminist. I'm not going to stand up and scream I'm a libertarian. You won't hear me ever say I'm a Republican or probably a Democrat. You won't hear me stand up. You know what? You probably won't hear me say that I'm any of those things because I'm never going to change a portion of my identity to conform to some group's concept or ideal.
So I think I speak for all four of the guys. Are you a feminist?
No, I'm not a feminist.
All right, good. All right.
Well, then why the kitchen's like 4 feet away? Why are you right here?
Stop that.
Okay. Hey, what time is it? Because I'm about to drop an F-bomb.
I only kid.
No, whether or not she's shouting it from a mountaintop, she is on a podcast called We Are Libertarian.
So obviously I have many... So obviously a great deal of my philosophy jives with the libertarian philosophy as stated. Like I said, the only reason that I don't stand up and scream from any mountaintop that I'm anything is because of my personal philosophy on identity.
Again, she's so libertarian, she refuses to call
herself. I swear, that is the litmus test. That should be the litmus test.
I've seen
it a million
times.
Do you consider yourself a libertarian? And if they say yes, no, you're not, you're out.
I have the freedom to abstain, F you.
No, you were perfect. That is self-identifying right there.
All right, I will go next. I'm Chris Spangle, the editor-in-chief of We Are Libertarians, a title that I bestowed upon myself after we created the new website. We Are Libertarians is a podcast that was founded. I originally called up Chris Galt and said, hey, do you want to do a podcast? And our goal originally was to focus on the college libertarian movement here in Indiana when I was working as executive director of the Libertarian Party of Indiana. And Galt said, sure. And I said, do you know anybody who'd want to jump on? And he said, Creighton. Said, cool. And then we did our first episode, which never aired because I broke the machine. And I knew instantly that we had podcast magic, as they would say.
Lightning in a bottle.
I knew immediately Creighton was smarter than probably Galt and I put together. And so that's how the podcast started. I grew up a Republican. I had always identified Republican. And when I got to college, I was with the college Republicans, and I was the chair that year, and that was 2004, and that was the year of gay marriage with the Bush election. I was like, I really don't care. They're like, what? You don't care? I'm like, I really don't care what two people do with their privates in the privacy of their own bedroom. And they were outraged by that, some of the members.
Why don't they just marry animals and then eight wives?
Oh, my God.
There was also a lot of talk about immigration. I was like, I really think Bush has a good plan with this immigration program. And they're like, what? Build a wall out of Mexicans. So I just wasn't a very good Republican, I guess. And there were cracks in my foundation. And then I went to work on Andy Horning's campaign in 2004, who was a libertarian running as a Republican. And got some campaign experience. I then got hooked up with Abdul Hakim Shabazz, a local talk show host who runs IndiePolitics.org now. And the two of those guys really argued with me. And I got to a point where I just couldn't defend my own talking points anymore. I couldn't defend Bush. I couldn't defend what they were doing. I couldn't defend, you know, Medicare Part D. So I just kind of became politically homeless. And I was
a drifter. Masses.
Yeah, I was working at the radio station, and it was a news talk station. I was the producer of Abdul in the Morning there at WXNT, and that's how I got into radio and podcasting. And that was always a dream of mine to do radio as a kid. And sadly, my dream has turned into this.
international recognition.
I was watching the debates and I saw Ron Paul, and my only hang up was foreign policy. I just, you know, there's terrorists out there. I sounded like Lindsey Graham. I was all for the Patriot Act. I was like,
whoa.
That is exactly right. That's exactly what we need to do to get those guys.
You drank the Patriot Act
Kool-Aid? Oh, yeah. I was
Holy
yeah, it was 2002. It was a different time, Gina. It's a different time.
Yeah, but I lived through it too, Spangle.
We all did things in college we're not proud of.
Ouch.
So, you know, look at Glenn Greenwald. He was for the Patriot Act before he was against it, too. So I saw Ron Paul, and that really just smashed through the last hurdle that I had. So I started taking a look at the local Libertarian Party. And I said, why aren't you guys doing anything? They said, we don't have an executive director. And I said, you can't pay me less than what I'm getting paid at the radio station. Can I get an amen, Joe Ruiz? And
amen.
They said, they said, all right, here's the number. And I said, great. And I got to live really another one of my dream jobs, which was working at the Libertarian Party of Indiana for 4 years. That's how I met people like Joe, who was a candidate. I met Gina, who was a candidate, and made a lot of great friends, and you know, did a lot of cool stuff over the last 4 years, and now I work in advertising with the Advocates for Self-Government, and we just launched the new website 2 days ago, so go check out theadvocates.org, and we're like not even 20% done with what I've got planned for the Advocates, so that's a little bit about me and my evolution to where we're at now, and I would have at the beginning of the podcast said I'm a constitutional Republican, but the more weeks we have like this past one, I become closer and closer to our friend Maya and becoming a full-fledged anarchist. this is going to be an angry podcast.
I think everybody can, I guess, can commiserate with
you. Exactly. So, all right, that's my story. Greg, tell us a little bit about how you got here.
I only got here because you asked me, and I was kind of like posting links on the website occasionally because I'm a big news nerd and would post that on this blog I had called The Lens Review, which I still have, just don't update as frequently. But
and so we launched, we did the podcast from March to December of 2012. We didn't have a website, and so in January of 13 of this year, we launched the website, and I was just looking for content. And I saw Greg was posting something every day, and I was like, ooh, there's a guarantee that we'll have something every day on the website. Because
whether it was of any value is still debatable.
I still don't think Creighton and I have posted on the website since since we launched in January. So so Greg and I actually went to high school.
Mm-hmm. High school and church together. And I have always had libertarian leanings, but I was not political at all like Spangle was going into college. And I actually went to school, started out college at SMU where Bush's library was, and there couldn't have been a more Bush place. And so I just was like, oh, yeah, I'm a Republican. I like to shoot bad guys and keep the money I make. That's totally me. And then I slowly started evolving, and then I had the same experience with the college Republicans at IUPUI at Spangle, only I didn't really know enough about libertarianism to go and kind of align myself with a party. I just really enjoyed angering the Republicans and the college Republicans. I'd be like, I love gays. You know, I would do everything I could at meetings to try to get them to throw me out, and they never would. But then,
the
you know,
most awkward was when you kissed the president.
Well, that was a little weird. It wasn't for me. It was for him.
It looked just like Michael and Oscar from The Office.
Yes. I mean, you lick one face and everyone labels you as,
suddenly
you know,
you're a weirdo.
You're weird, you know? No, but then, you know, I hadn't really given it much thought other than, you know, I didn't really care what people did with their lives. I just wanted small government, leave me alone. But then I've always been more isolationist as a foreign policy person. But just the more I've been around this podcast and meeting Creighton and speaking with him and Joe and Chris, I've really walked down the line to where I would say, in theory, I'd be even a voluntarist.
Isolationist?
Yeah, I would be.
That is the inappropriate term, bro.
No, not right now. I'm saying a long time ago, man.
Breaking news. We'll have to talk about it here in just a minute. Sorry to interrupt. Obama has authorized U.S. arms for Syrian rebels as a new part of support packages for Syrian rebels.
Isn't that what I posted earlier?
Shocking change in this news cycle.
Yeah, but they just are confirming that they're going to officially give rebels arms. But we'll talk about that in just a second. So, Greg...
Now there's evidence.
I know. So when we retooled the website, we wanted to have a diverse range of opinions. I was the constitutional Republican. Creighton is very economics, Austrian economics focused. Joe is a former Democrat, and we needed a Republican libertarian, or libertarian Republican. So Greg became our libertarian Republican, and now He's like, I hate the Republicans. He sounds like me. It's just
no.
Great.
I don't hate him. I mean, my thing is this is the,
I do.
My only. Yeah. Well, I hate the Rick Santorums. I hate
right.
The Rand Pauls I don't hate, and Ted Cruz. But the one that gets me though is the non-aggression principle. I just struggle with it. I really do. I have no problem abiding by it. But then, like for me, I still have a lot of Republican blood. So if you hit me, I want scorched earth. You know, right. Like I want to make sure that your civilization is done.
Right.
So that's where some libertarians don't like me.
Yeah. There's.
Oh, we like you. We just don't agree.
Yeah.
When you have withdrawals and I catch you going through my mail, that's where it becomes problematic.
Oh, no. Never. Never.
When we need the occasional, like, voluntarist. You can't have that on every show.
Yeah.
Because it just wears you out.
It does.
We have Maya on to argue with Greg and Creighton, and Maya's like, well, I'm just tired of human beings. I'm like, oh, God. So, all right. So, anything else before we move on to Joseph Ruiz?
No, let's hear from the Democrat.
All right. Joe Ruiz, our managing editor of We Are Libertarians. Tell us a little bit about how you got here.
Chris Spangle gave me.
I know. I made that up.
It's because nobody else wanted to put the work in, right?
Well, what we do is we have guest submissions. We promoted another, including promoting Gina. We promoted our friend Ryan Ripley, who does a great job at writing commentary on the website. He's now a regular contributor to We Are Libertarians.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to ever contribute to the blog and write stuff, Joe is the guy that you talk to, and go to the website and look for the submissions page, and Joe will help you get set up with an account, and then you can start writing for We Are Libertarians. We'd love that. We're always looking for content.
Absolutely.
So I sort of manage the podcast side, and Joe manages the writing side.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so my journey, right? So I went to a conservative Christian college, and I considered myself a Democrat because of, you know, I don't know, I didn't think about it on a deep enough level, but I thought that you had to be some old warmongering white man in order to be a Republican. So I just assumed that I was a Democrat.
As Greg just showed.
Yes. I've been 65, white-haired old, well, kind of haired old man since for a long time.
I have more hair on my forearm than you have on your head.
I'm very unhairy. I'm kind of like powder.
You and Joe.
He's the kingpin. Well, when I would hear their economic arguments, well, one, I didn't really care. Two, I would pretty much just agree that, yeah, it'd be cool if the government paid for everything, because I didn't think about it on a deep enough level to really see where that money was coming from. George W. Bush came to visit our conservative Christian college campus, and it was weird to me to kind of watch all of my peers flock around his limousine and act like there was this celebrity on campus. And I just thought, I don't really like him. and so that was kind of odd. I ended up protesting, and they made me protest across the street from campus and not actually on campus with some other Democrats that were over there. It was like a real small minority. And then, there was a candidate in Barack Obama in 2007. He talked about things like transparency. And he talked about, saying things. yeah. He was saying things that were opposite of what the Bush policies were. And I kind of started to think about it on a little bit deeper of a level, but not quite deep enough yet. And what in the world? Did you guys just hear that?
They're listening.
Man, that was so weird. Somebody was just trying to sell me a Nokia, like out of nowhere.
Do not listen to this podcast.
10-point alert.
Oh, gosh. So, to continue, I...
11 was an inside job.
Brocco, guys, you're scaring me. You're freaking me out. Stop it.
Sorry, it was just...
You wish you were here.
Sorry, it was just a brief interruption from the NSA.
Yeah. Brought to you by
Carl's Jr.
Oh, gosh. So you guys really threw me off. Barack Obama got elected, and I saw him start to do kind of the opposite of the things that he said he was going to do, and I became quickly disenchanted, a lot quicker than a lot of other people who voted for him did. I didn't give him the benefit of the doubt quite as long, and I began to do some reading. Economics in One Lesson was like one of the simplest little books, and I read it and I was like, whoa, like there's kind of another side to the thinking on some of these money arguments. And then I started looking at Ron Paul, and Ron Paul kind of brought me into libertarianism, and I said, okay, I am either going to call myself a libertarian or like a constitutional Republican. And I went to a Tea Party meeting and I went to a Libertarian Party meeting, and I'd done enough libertarian book reading to kind of know that when I heard at the Tea Party meeting, oh gosh, if those libertarians get in charge, then we'll all just be addicted to drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And when I heard
nothing
that,
but
I was
drugs
like,
and gays.
What is wrong with that? Really?
It's so bad. Seriously. And I knew it was bad. And I tried to talk to the guy who was leading the group about it, and he would not return my phone calls. He would not return my emails because he knew, you know, where I was coming from, and he just didn't want anything to do with me. And so I started attending Libertarian Party meetings. Fast forward, ran for U.S. Congress up here in South Bend in the 2nd District, and 9,326 votes later, I'm the managing editor at We Are Libertarians.
See, that's what you get for running for office as a libertarian.
Oh, right. How the mighty have fallen.
Free jobs.
Yeah, do you notice how Spangle just goes around giving people titles and then they kiss the ring?
Yes.
He was once called, I think, king of all the libertarians, and I never realized it was actually true.
There was somebody, there was an Indianapolis City County Councilor who, let's face it, he's just not with it. And he introduced me one day. He goes, this is Chris Spangle. He's president of all libertarians. I laughed my ass off. I was like, I can barely handle managing the state of Indiana. I cannot.
Really should get a custom pinky ring with an L on it and actually ask people to kiss it.
That would be awesome.
You guys.
The pimpertarian.
Stop.
Yep.
No, don't stop.
Keep going. Tell me more about my importance.
All right, Creighton.
Haters bitches better be wearing Jimmy.
Creighton Harrington, if you could swallow your pizza for us. We're having a pizza party. See, Greg is from Broad Ripple here in Indianapolis. I'm from Greenwood, which is just south. So is Gina here on the south side. Maya lives in the same apartment complex as me. Creighton lives on the south side of Indy. But he's currently in D.C., and Joe's in South Bend,
Southwest
Indiana.
Southwest side represent.
Yeah, so Joe's in South Bend, Indiana, which is 3 hours north of here near Michigan. So it's even more pale up there than it is here. And Creighton is actually, he's not in Indy, he's spending the summer in Washington, D.C.
Yes, I am in the belly of the beast.
Tell us what you're doing in Washington, D.C., and then tell us how you got there.
I am a summer intern with with Young Americans for Liberty, which is a college or student organization, college-oriented organization. We're chapter-based. We have over 400 chapters, and I am interning at their national headquarters in D.C. over the summer. But I guess if we're doing the whole how did I become a libertarian thing, I guess the joke is that Greg was supposed to be the token Republican guy, and I was just, I guess, brought on because I read more books than anyone else when we started.
Pretty much.
And it looks like it's turned out, it seems like we've had such a good effect on Greg that now I am, in comparison, a little bit more conservative-leaning, it seems like.
Yeah.
At least on the podcast. But
that Creighton is Rand Paul, and Greg has now creeped into Ron Paul territory.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm still pragmatic, though.
No, I'd say Ron Paul was, too.
The thing is I didn't really fall too far from... I mean, I guess by the time I started the podcast, I had already kind of coalesced around my core beliefs. But how I got there was pretty much... It was really happenstance. I've told the story many a times. It was kind of just I don't know, it's novel how random it was that I came upon libertarianism at all. I was at DePaul University for my first 2 years of school. This is back in 08 to 2010. And I was just sitting in my dorm room one time, and I think the impetus was I lost a Facebook argument with somebody.
Oh,
and
boy.
Somebody's wrong on the internet.
Yes.
It was so much that, man. It was that meme entirely.
It was Friday night. I was alone at 3 in the morning in my underwear.
I was on the internet, and I was arguing with this person. I think I had lost. And I looked on YouTube for essentially an argument because I didn't like losing arguments. And I just stumbled across this guy named the Southern Avenger, who is who doesn't really go by that moniker as much anymore. His name's Jack Hunter. He's actually works with the he's a part-time worker with Young Americans for Liberty. But at that time, this was back in 2009, I think. He was just he worked at a local radio station in Charleston, South Carolina, and he posted his weekly commentaries on YouTube. He would read them and put them on YouTube, and I found one. And I really thought he was really good. And at this time, you got to remember, at this time, I essentially had put very little thought into being, into my political ideology. I was just essentially my dad. But I still like to argue a lot, so I was kind of an a-hole. But
loved America.
Oh, yes. But I had never really thought about, anything other than, Republicans right because my dad was Republican and I just know Democrats are terrible, so Republicans always right. And this Jack Hunter guy, he was a conservative, but he spent a lot of time bashing Bush. And it was basically from the fact that I knew I agreed with this guy so much, but at the same time he hated Bush, that kind of finally pushed me beyond, Republicans always right. So he's kind of I actually have to give credit to him for being able to break through my stubborn political ideology that I had when I was, 19 and naive. Now I'm just 23 and naive. But so I found him, and he repped this guy named Ron Paul, and I'd never really heard of him. And then I looked at a speech he gave at Ohio State and really liked what he said. And he repped Yale pretty hard, and I joined Yale as a result. And then But really the big kicker was I read The Revolution, a manifesto, and kind of just the way he laid everything out kind of just sent me over the edge, and I kind of just started devouring everything that he listed in the back of that book, and here I sit. But I've always been relatively conservative. Anyone who's been a libertarian for more than 5 minutes knows that there are 8 million different brands of libertarianism. I've always been more of a right libertarian, conservative leaning. I'd say, policy wise, I'm still, I'd say libertarian, just because I don't agree with government force to promote anything really. But I guess I lean more towards conservative, personally. That's kind of where I come from. And I am very much outspoken on thinking that, incrementalism and,
political change.
Using the Republican Party is not a fool's errand to try and advance our ideas, which brings me into many an argument with Maya and Chris Spangle.
Yeah, because it is a party founded on destroying the system of the Republican Party's first president was Abraham Lincoln, the person who destroyed the notion of an anti-federalist government. So it was corrupt from the beginning.
But you also had Robert Taft, Calvin Coolidge, Harding, Goldwater.
He's almost got five.
Okay, Republicans.
He's almost got five. All right.
More than I could have named.
Well, yeah.
You had Howard Taft as well.
That guy was chubby.
You had what's Warren Buffett's dad? Howard Buffett, I think.
Hey,
Jimmy.
Jimmy Buffett. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Let's do an age roll.
Only frat boys.
Didn't he lose a salt shaker?
Yes.
Let's do an age roll call. Just let's start with Creighton. Let everybody know how old you are,
no.
If you don't mind. You can give us an estimation if you're a vain person.
Oh wow,
Creighton.
I'm 23.
23. Joe,
that's not really much of an estimate.
I am 28, much to the chagrin of Maya Axton,
who is 26. Greg, how old are you?
27.
All right, I'm 29.
This is disgusting. I'm the oldest one here. That's all I'm saying. And my
mother hen. She is the mother hen of We Are Libertarians.
You're not even a day over 30.
Yes, I am. I'm about 600 days over 30. But it's 31 minutes in and I haven't dropped an F-bomb.
Very true.
Creighton, can you tell me how many 6 days is, 600 days is? All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us on this episode of We Are Libertarians. As always, we promise next week, we promise that we will
do better next time.
Music for We Are Libertarians is provided by Hoosier musician Brian Keith Wallen. Please check out his website, briankeithwallen.com. The song is Bad Spell.